College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
All right, let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Stanford head coach Jared Haase. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product that's coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I will get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on Stitcher. You can find us there right now. And I want to let you know today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being sponsored by Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's add, save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance, extra money in your pocket. It may just be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, some pretty big Big East news came out on Tuesday morning when LJ Figueroa, talented forward for St. John's, averaged 14.5 points, 4.5 rebounds last season, came out and put his name in the transfer portal. He is going to be eligible to transfer as 1 year of eligibility remaining. Now, to me, this is a recurring theme in college basketball because we have seen multiple players at high-profile power conference programs who had significant roles opt to bypass their current situation to go play elsewhere. We saw it, obviously, last week when Justin Smith, who led Indiana in minutes played, decide to be a graduate transfer and play college basketball next season for his final year of eligibility elsewhere. It continues to reiterate what I've been saying right now for about 2 years, and that the days of building a program in college basketball for all intents and purposes almost feels like it's over, except for the real blue blood programs who have now become exception to the rule. You look at LJ Figueroa, you look at Justin Smith, and they have the right to do whatever they want to do with their basketball future. But these are guys who had pronounced roles, one in the Big East, one in the Big Ten, and there's been others who have opted to do similar things elsewhere. Landers Nolley was featured at Virginia Tech. He went, put his name in the transfer portal. Now he's at Memphis. David DeJulius had a chance to be the starting point guard for Michigan as a junior. He went to Cincinnati. Luther Muhammad was at Ohio State, was a key part in that basketball team. He's going to go and go play at Arizona State. And look, all of those young men are very good players and all are entitled to do what they want to do. But except for the specific blue blood programs and maybe a couple of others, the days of building a program in college basketball has now really evolved into a year-to-year process for most power conference programs. And it's even more expedited when you look at the mid-major or the non-power conference level. Which brings me to today's guest, Jared Haase of Stanford. For me, Stanford is a program that obviously is a highly academic school that does not fit in the criteria of most power conference programs because of the academic components. Now, Stanford has been dealing with what the rest of college basketball has been dealing with over the last couple of years, and that's roster attrition. Reed Travis goes as a graduate transfer to Kentucky. KZ Akpala leaves school early, goes to the NBA draft. You also see a scenario where Cormac Ryan opted to transfer from Stanford. He'll play for Notre Dame next season. And now Stanford is in a situation on the heels of adding somebody in Zaire Williams, who will be one of the top five, six, or seven freshmen potentially in college basketball next season, where the Cardinal are waiting on whether or not Tyrell Terry will bypass an opportunity to go into the NBA draft and come back to play his sophomore season at Stanford. Now, here's what I can tell you. If Tyrell Terry came back to Stanford with the addition of Zaire Williams, the Cardinal are my pick to win the Pac-12. They have the most complete team, in my opinion. If he doesn't come back, I think Stanford's in the middle of the pack of that league. Somewhere probably, middle of the pack isn't fair, somewhere maybe between 3 and 6, maybe 4 and 6 based on elsewhere. They'll be similar to last year when they won 20 games. And again, we're going to be on the bubble because Tyrell Terry adds a different dynamic. We're still waiting to take shape for next season as a whole. The NBA draft early entry withdrawal deadline has been pushed back, but we're starting to see right now more and more kids withdraw their name from the NBA draft. But we still don't have full clarity. We will when the withdrawal deadline is put in place and we hit that date. And Tyrell Terry is one of the key decisions on that deadline. Because he is somebody who everybody has told me close to him is going to take this thing to the deadline. What will Stanford look like if he comes back? And just how good does Jared Haas think Zaire Williams can be next season? The aforementioned head coach of the Stanford Cardinal, Jared Haas, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. And before we talk to Stanford's Jared Haas, I want to tell you about Harry's Razors. How's your hair doing? I know the feeling. Luckily, as a college hoops fan, I always have a team cap nearby to cover what's happening up top. Problem solved. But what about my facial hair? Even in times of social distancing, I like to keep a clean shave. And thanks to Harry's, I have that covered. The smooth shave I get from my Harry's Razor is next level and keeps me looking my best every morning. If you haven't tried it yet, you really should. Just go to harrys.com/hoops. And get a Harry's trial set delivered right to your doorstep. You'll be impressed with their lineup. Their factory has been honing precision blades for over a century, so you get high-quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 each. And get this, to help those who need it most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. so you can feel good about looking good. Listeners of my show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/hoops. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/hoops to start shaving better today. Now we've got you set for all your Harry's Razors needs. The aforementioned head coach of the Stanford Cardinal is Jared Haas. He now joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And coach, I know that it's very difficult to have a bad quality of life in Palo Alto, California, but I'm sure you've been tested in that area over the last 8 to 10 weeks. What's it been like in the Silicon Valley during this pandemic?
Well, it is, Santa Clara County and Stanford have been very aggressive in trying to keep everybody safe and healthy, and things have been certainly shut down and quiet. But the reality is, for me personally, the challenges are real, but the good part is I have 3 young kids at home, and this is the only time they've ever known their dad to be around for, day after day after day. And so we've had a great time spending time with the family and doing all the things that we should do more often, cooking meals together and playing games and just spending quality time together. So for me, it's been great. But the reality is it is awfully quiet, and things are definitely been shut down.
You know, it's interesting for people who aren't as familiar with the setup at Stanford. Many of the coaches at the school live on campus. It's a little bit easier to stay connected to things, even if your players aren't there, because you do live on campus and you're so close to everything.
Well, the amazing part is, campus is kind of our backyard. And so we'll often just walk around campus or, do things as a family on campus, play wiffle ball or, go run around the fields and things like that. So we have some access to some pretty special areas, but campus itself is really quiet too, though. It's not something that's, it doesn't have the normal feel of campus because there's so few people here.
Now, under normal circumstances, the spring and summer have become an integral part of development for programs in college basketball, especially for programs that have momentum. And you had a breakthrough season last year, winning 20 games, being in the NCAA tournament picture. You just added, you know, one of the top recruits in college basketball in Zaire Williams. Do the circumstances right now in the world, do you feel like they're inhibiting programs with a little bit of momentum?
Not necessarily. I do think everybody has the challenge of how are players developing. We've talked a lot about that with our team, about individually they have to make the best of every situation, and there's probably not a situation where they can advance as quickly as if they were here, just because they don't have the access to the weight room and our facilities, and most of them don't even have a basketball court or a hoop to shoot on. So that being said, what we've talked a lot about is the goal is to advance as quickly as possible, to have good habits, to build the most they can individually. But having said that, I think the area that we've done a good job in is kind of the other part. We've stayed really connected as a team. You know, the Zoom, the reality as we know it is very real with us. And we've had great small group conversations about different topics. We've had some tremendous guest speakers with the group. So we've done a lot of different things where it's not a ball in their hands, but it's something that we can still improve and grow and stay connected as a team and still build our culture in just in a different way.
Stanford head coach Jared Haase joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, another part of the spring for college basketball coaches is playing the waiting game with the NBA draft. And you had to do that a couple years ago with KZ Ogpala, and you're doing it again now with Tyrell Terry, who was an integral part to your success last season. What is the latest with Tyrell and, you know, where he stands for next season?
Yeah, he's going through the process. It's and I think it's been good. We've been really supportive, trying to help him any way we can, and get the goal for him is to get as much valid information as he can have. And then there's so many moving parts of this whole thing of knowing the dates and trying to get all that information. So it's a challenging kind of situation in some ways for us and for him. But at the end of the day, I think he's going to be able to go through this process, do the interviews, talk to these teams, and get a feel for, you know, where, you know, he thinks he's going to be projected. And then we'll talk with him and you know, try and recommend what's best for him. And if he is a situation where he's going to be a first rounder, you know, I think that could be a special thing for him. But all that information right now is just collecting data, going through the process, and then seeing kind of where he stands at that point. You know, and that is one thing with us, that we are a pretty special place because the degree means so much here, and the experience is pretty special. So it's not like if, you know, he does turn it down that it's all, you know, a negative thing. I think it can be a pretty special team next year with a special experience and a year closer to graduation. And then on the flip side, too, with the NBA, that's everybody's dream and goal. It's going to be something that they're always going to want to chase, and we're going to be really supportive of that. And the more guys we have in the NBA kind of adds credibility to what we're doing in terms of player development and putting guys in a position to chase those dreams.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, you had to deal with this, as I said, a couple of years ago with KZ Ogpala, and now you're dealing with it with Tyrell Terry. You know, Stanford for a long time was not thought to be a place where players leave early. You know, you just added, as I mentioned earlier, Zaire Williams, a five-star prospect. Is it just another sign of how college basketball is changing that we now have had multiple players in the last couple of years from Stanford consider leaving early for the draft?
Well, I think there's a variety of topics there. I mean, college basketball is changing quickly, and you know, it's not, and we're not sitting here talking about, hey, 20 years ago or 30 years ago, it's changed from that point. I mean, I'm talking, I've been the head coach here 4 years, and this job and this profession and college basketball is completely different than what it was 4 years ago. I mean, just the idea of transfers and grad transfers, the whole MBA process, culturally, how things are going, it's a totally different animal. And so Stanford, you know, has been great, and it's, and we're seeing some of the effects as well. But having said that, I do think that we have something really special here, because in a time when it's college basketball is completely unstable, we have a chance to be more stable than most places. And again, as you just pointed out, doesn't mean we're totally stable. You know, there could be some guys that, you know, go to the NBA, whatever it's going to be. But at the end of the day, we do think we have really a platform to be unique and different, and because we have stability, and with that you can get your culture built, and with that player development becomes so important, and consistency. So it's a wild time, to say the least.
Well, you know, stability is one thing that is obviously lacking in a lot of areas of college basketball right now. And for you and your staff, you almost have to forecast next season with Tyrell Terry. And then on the other board, you have to look at your team without Tyrell Terry. To me, if Tyrell comes back, you're a team, obviously, that can win the Pac-12 and play deep into the NCAA tournament. In your mind, what does Stanford look like if he doesn't come back?
Well, we'll put the pieces together. We do think we have really good talent. We have some guys that really in all positions that can be really effective and really good. And I'm a huge believer that good point guard play is necessary to have a big-time team. And if Ty is not here, we maybe don't have that look of just one point guard that has proven himself over and over. But, you know, Dejon Davis, his freshman year at point guard was really, really good, and we think he's developed and can get better. Bryce Wills has played point guard. We have a variety of options, and what we'd have to do is kind of morph our team and kind of play that hand that we're dealt, and I do think it's something that could be pretty good still. And it, honestly, we end up being more versatile, you know, defensively, probably playing a little bit bigger team. Honestly, that's what's fun about being a coach, is you take those challenges and you make it work.
Well, and one of those, obviously, pieces that'll help you be more versatile defensively is Zaire Williams. I know that you played on one of the great college teams, you know, ever. Not enough people talk about the 97 Kansas team because that team didn't go to a Final Four, but it was one of the best college teams that I've seen in my lifetime. And I know that you worked, obviously, alongside your mentor, Roy Williams, at North Carolina as well. If there was one player out of those two places, and I know obviously that there were so many great players at both of those schools, that Zaire Williams most reminded you of, who would it be?
Well, it's a great question. And in terms of ability on the court, it's really hard because he's so unique and different. You know, maybe a guy like a Harrison Barnes, but the one person that he reminds me of most is Marvin Williams. Because just personality, character, demeanor, and obviously God-given talent. I think those are the two that I would compare. And he has such a unique blend of confidence, but humility, size and skill. And I think Marvin Williams would be probably the ultimate comparison.
You know, Jared, it's fascinating because you have mentioned how, you know, Stanford is different and the experience at Stanford is different considering how everything is now a revolving door in college basketball. And I read somewhere that in your recruitment of Zaire Williams, you firmly felt that by connecting with him every day, it would allow you to make a deeper connection. Did you really write him a handwritten letter every day?
I did for 365 straight days. And, one of the with Stanford, there's always challenges because the recruiting pool is so small compared to other places. But with that also is a benefit, you know, because we can really lock in on who we want to recruit and spend our time and energy and resources really zeroed in and targeted. But, you know, I saw him in person, over the time period many, many times. Both internationally and obviously all over the country. And then I made a decision, I guess it was after his sophomore summer, August 1st, that I was going to write him a letter. So I printed out 365 pieces of letter on letterhead with a date printed on top. And then I committed myself to writing a handwritten letter, 8.5 by 11, for one full year.
Well, that's an unbelievable throwback in a day and age where we're constantly looking forward. Now, I know we've talked about Tyrell. I know we've talked about Zaire Williams. To me, the guy in your program that doesn't get enough attention is Oscar Da Silva. Why is it that this guy can be so productive but so underrated on the national level?
Great question, because he is fantastic. You know, as a coach, you love somebody in the program that has all the characteristics that you really take pride in. I mean, he has a great personality. He's extremely smart. I mean, he's an excellent student. He's worked in the stem cell lab here. He's a published. He's spoken on his stem cell research at a conference on the East Coast last year. And on the court, he's very cerebral. You know, in college basketball, so many times right now, you get guys that, you know, make 3-point shots as kind of the poster children for college basketball. And certainly the athletes, you know, who's running and jumping high and the dunks that set the world on fire. And Oscar is just a little bit of everything. He's a good, solid passer. He's an excellent defender for his position. Good shooter, can score in a variety of ways, does all the right things. But he's not, you know, in terms of the general public, maybe a sexy player to tout and publicize. But the reality is, the coach, he is absolutely fantastic. And he had a great year this past year, and I think it's set up to have a great one this next year.
Stanford head coach Jared Haas joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, we've touched on, obviously, some of the top flight players in your program. Other than that, who else do you think will make a jump next season among your returning players?
Well, there's a variety. Bryce Wills, I thought, had a really good, solid year. And I think his best days are ahead for him. You know, it's his jump shot is not bad, but it was something just kind of figuring out throughout the year that I think teams played off a little bit on the offensive end. I think he'll make tremendous strides this year on the offensive end, and defensively, he's as good as it gets. He has great instincts, great size, great athleticism, and so I think he will really emerge and do some great things. Spencer Jones, that was a freshman last year that was an elite shooter the entire year, has great size, and I look for him to do some special things as well. So we feel like we have, you know, like I said, really good talent. We have depth this next year with a freshman class coming in. Obviously, with Zaire, but we have three other freshmen that we think all can play right away and add some depth to our roster.
Well, Jared, you know, it seems like, you know, you've stabilized that roster, and, you know, you dealt with some things the last couple of years that weren't normal at Stanford. You lose Reed Travis as a grad transfer. You lose Cormac Ryan as a transfer to Notre Dame. There was some talk, obviously, the last couple of months about the NCAA instituting a one-time transfer rule. It's not going to pass this year. How much harder would it make things at Stanford for you in terms of stabilizing a program if that rule went into effect? Because conversely, you couldn't take transfers in return.
Yeah, it would just be another challenge. And that doesn't mean it can't be done here. But it is, if that ends up happening, like you said, we would only have the ability for players to transfer out. And in today's society with college basketball, you know, when people aren't getting playing time, they're transferring immediately. Now at Stanford, I think there's more to it, where once you come here, you do value the degree so much. But you are right. Losing transfers is going to be a problem, and we don't have the ability very often to be able to get a transfer in. So it's just a one-way situation, which is not a positive for us.
Now, Stanford is an iconic brand. It's one of the great academic institutions in the world. And, you know, you'll be able to obviously stabilize things regardless of what happens because of the power of that brand. But if you weren't the head coach at Stanford, if you were still the head coach at a place like UAB, how much harder would it be to build a program that could do what you did at UAB, which is win a game in the NCAA tournament and regularly compete for your conference title?
Well, you have to have a really, really strong culture and have relationships with your guys because there are so many outside influences. You know, it's a scary situation where, you know, when we'd bring freshmen in and those freshmen had a great deal of success. And so, you know, the kind of the culture nowadays is if you have success as a freshman or sophomore, you transfer somewhere bigger. And, you know, if you're not playing as a freshman or sophomore, you transfer somewhere else. I've heard so many coaches talk about the idea of winning the spring in recruiting. I mean, it may get to the point where there's fewer and fewer schools that really recruit high school kids at the highest level because all they want to do is just get the transfers on the back end. You know, maybe they may recruit guys just knowing we're going to try and get them on the back end. And it's, I don't like it. You know, just the ideas of loyalty and stability and building a program and building relationships. But I also understand the, you know, the reasons why it's happening. I am all for student athlete welfare fair and doing everything we can for the student athletes. But it's a situation right now that I just think we can hopefully figure out something that makes a little bit more sense in terms of how college basketball is operating, how the NBA fits into that, and try and get some kind of stability so that fans and coaches and everybody, you kind of see a team grow over 3 to 4 years as opposed to a new roster every single year.
Stanford head coach Jared Hess joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, next season's going to be a little bit of a shift for the Pac-12. You're going to go to 20 conference games. Stanford's also going to play, or slated to play, in Maui and also play Georgia Tech in Brooklyn. Would you add another game of significance if you get Tyrell Terry back in terms of your non-conference schedule?
Schedule's just about done. We are trying to put ourselves in the best position to have a big-time schedule, but with what you already said right there, you know, 3 games in Maui, Georgia Tech, plus 20 games. And so the additional games for us are Arizona and USC from the 18-game schedule. So you have, you know, a really tough schedule right there, as well as some, you know, regional games here with some really good teams. So as we finish it, yeah, we're not, you know, with or without Ty, we think we have a chance to be pretty good. We think with him, it certainly adds stability at the point guard position. He's a big-time player. So schedule-wise, we are beefing it up next year, and yeah, we'll make that, you know, we're pretty much locked in with the schedule now, though.
Well, and I know that things are fluid now on a daily basis, but from everything you've gathered, you're still planning on going to Maui and playing in that tournament despite the circumstances in the world?
We are. You know, I think we're progressing right now with a great deal of optimism and planning in that way. Now, certainly we understand that things could change, but at this point, I think there is, you know, reason for optimism, and we're certainly moving in that direction with all of our plans.
Final thing, Jared, you obviously were groomed by Roy Williams as both a player and an assistant coach. I know you've obviously, you know, still played him both at UAB and Stanford. What's the biggest thing that you, you know, took from Coach Williams that you feel like you've applied with your own programs as you've become a steward in college basketball?
There's a variety of things, but it's more his personality and how he handles his business. If there's one word I would describe with Coach Williams, it would be genuine. And he genuinely cares about people as well. And as I, you know, worked on the program at UAB and I'm working here to try and improve this program to a national stage, the idea has to be that it's about the student athletes. It's about the relationships. And I do believe if you do that the right way and build a program from that foundation, that you have a chance to be pretty good. And I don't think we've taken shortcuts at either place. We've tried to do it the right way. And that's what I tried to take from Coach Williams. And I'm certainly grateful for that.
You know, some coaches and their former assistants and players hate playing against each other. Why have you guys been so comfortable continuing to face off?
Well, Coach Williams is unbelievable. I mean, it's, for us, it's a win-win situation. You know, it gets North Carolina on the schedule, which is great for us at Stanford. It's great for us at UAB. But it really speaks to Coach Williams because it's not necessarily a win-win situation for North Carolina. It's basically a head coach and Roy Williams taking care of his former player and former assistant coach. And it's what sets Coach Williams apart from anybody else in our profession and makes him one of those unique people in the world that sees the big picture. He understands the big picture, and there's no one quite like him. And to say that I'm loyal to him would be a huge, huge understatement.
Well, Jared, appreciate a couple minutes. Good visiting with you. You know, congrats on a great spring so far. Stay safe, and as always, look forward to staying connected along the way.
I sure appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
We'd like to thank Stanford head coach Jared Hess for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on Stitcher. You can find us there right now. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Jace William, and it's, John, if Hassan French and Jordan Goodwin come back, how much could we see St. Louis be in a position where they're favored in the Atlantic 10? You know, I agree with this, Jace. I think, and I understand why so many people, when they're looking at the Atlantic 10, are looking at Richmond as the team to beat. But I want to point out that St. Louis was not at full strength last year. Fred Thatch only played 6 games. St. Louis is in a situation where if French and Goodwin come back, they'll have 2 players back that average a double-double. To me, if all hands are on deck, St. Louis is the team to beat in the Atlantic 10 next season. Next question comes from Tristan Lewis. And John, can Florida State make a similar run to the one they had going this year? You know, it's funny you said that, Tristan, because, and asked that question, because I was just talking to somebody from Tallahassee this morning, and I think now, you know, you have to look at Florida State the same way you look at other programs that are perennial contenders for the respective conference regular season titles. You look at Florida State, you know, obviously Scotty Barnes, the 5-star freshman, is going to be at the epicenter of everything Leonard Hamilton does next year. You expect a big year out of MJ Walker. I could see Anthony Polite taking a step, and then obviously you have the platoon system up front where you're going to have probably a group that's going to play 4 or 5 players for 2 positions and try to overwhelm people with their size and their depth. Next question comes from Baylor Dude, and it's, John, does Baylor have the best team on paper if everybody returns? For me, I look at Baylor as being a team, if they can get Jared Butler and Macy Oteague back, as being in the mix to be the number one team in the country, along with Villanova and Gonzaga. I have Gonzaga number one, but Gonzaga's got three players right now who are in the mix as early entrants to the NBA draft for 2020. Corey Kispert, Joel Ayayi, and Philip Petrusev. And the thing now that you have to take into consideration is, because we don't have a date for the NBA draft, which I'm hoping every day when I wake up we get sooner rather than later, you don't know when the deadline is going to be. Because if the draft is September 1st, what is the NCAA going to do? Make the deadline August 1st and give the players a month? Once that deadline is set, you'll start to see more and more players announce their plans. You'll start to have more and more clarity for next season. And a reminder, 5 Good Nuggets is being brought to you this week by Geico. Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years, and anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time. Now, let's get to some nuggets.
5 Good Nuggets.
5. 5.
6.
No, 5. But you were close.
Nugget number one, Hoosier Hope. I know that Indiana lost Justin Smith as a graduate transfer last week, but I still look at the Hoosiers with the addition of 5-star point guard Christian Lander, who reclassified to the 2020 class last week, joining Trace Jackson Davis and Rob Finnessy and Al Durham and Joey Brunk. I still see the Hoosiers in position to have the best output they've had under Archie Miller. Nugget number two, Ciao Davide. Davide Moretti has signed professionally to play in Italy and will not return to Texas Tech. He personally announced this on Tuesday. Business as usual for Texas Tech. I mean, they always have a revolving door under Chris Beard because you have players going in and out, but Texas Tech, again, losing its top 2 scorers. I see, obviously, Texas Tech right now, if I had to forecast their starting 5, Kyler Edwards, Namari Burnett, Jolan Tomway, the transfer from UNLV, Terrence Shannon, and then Marcus Santos Silva. Kevin McCullough could also be in the mix right there. Nugget number three, Fats' focus. Fats Russell of Rhode Island announced that he is withdrawing from the 2020 NBA draft and will turn to school next season. To me, this is a potential All-American in 2021, a dark horse All-American, if you will. Great two-way player, 3rd nationally last season at steals, 2.9 a game. Should get more of an opportunity to run Rhode Island's offense in a facilitator-type role next season. Nugget number four, Mountain West Parity. Nevada's Jalen Harris opted to announce last week that he is staying in the 2020 NBA draft. Nevada, to me, could have been a threat to win the Mountain West Conference and be picked first in the conference preseason poll if Jalen Harris returned. Now, all of a sudden, you've got a number of teams vying for the top spot. San Diego State will probably be picked first in the conference's preseason poll. Colorado State, though, has a lot back. Boise State, if Derek Alston doesn't stay in the NBA draft, could be a dangerous team. They've got a couple of transfers from Arizona and Emmanuel Aycott and Devin Air Dutrieve. And also, can't forget about what T.J. Otzelberger is building at UNLV. Bryce Hamilton set to become one of the top scoring guards on the West Coast next season. And then nugget number five, the transfer hold. The NCAA announced last week that there will be no immediate eligibility for transfers next season through a one-time waiver. My question for the NCAA is this: where is the leadership? Because this whole scenario started because the NCAA got into the waiver business and created this gray area for transfers. Waivers are the reason why we're in this situation. The NCAA wants to get out of the waiver business. This is why they started to look at a one-time transfer exception for student athletes. Now, you don't have a rhyme or a reason why a player gets a waiver without penalty. And the NCAA is going to be loaded with coronavirus waivers for the upcoming year. And look, every player in college basketball that wants to transfer should have the rights to transfer. There's no doubt about that. But the unintended consequences for this rule could be extreme, could rupture graduation rates, would rupture the APR, and would have a host of other different circumstances that are unintended. Now look, I understand that only a certain amount of sports, and it's a very select few, football, men's and women's basketball, baseball, I believe ice hockey, have to do the year in residence. But it's the NCAA's fault that we don't have a unilateral rule. And if you put this rule in, you could be creating a scenario where we see, in terms of the major college sports, a point of no return. We could see kids transferring, you know, in terms of 30 or 40 or 50% of the roster on an annual basis. Could be one of the worst rules in the history of college sports. I understand why that people are frustrated because the rule is not unilateral. But to me, it all stems from one thing: a lack of leadership. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. You want to stabilize college sports? No more waivers. Graduate transfers can play immediately. And if a coach is fired, retires, or takes another job, those players as well can play immediately without a penalty. And that's it. That's how you stabilize intercollegiate athletics. We'd like to thank Stanford's Jared Haas for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, as well as the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.